Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 9, Day 4. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 19, 1 through 27. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 9. Welcome to the podcast and thanks for joining me today. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading from the NIV today. This is John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. So, the soldiers didn't count it enough that Jesus was about to be tortured and executed in the most heinous manner possible. They didn't think that was enough, so they decided to make sport of Jesus as he's being led away to his death. This is just horrendous. I mean, this is an amazing disregard for human life. I just can't even imagine. I mean, this is full human depravity on display. When we read that a Roman had someone flogged, and we don't know this for sure, but more than likely, what this meant was that they took Jesus and they took a cat of nine tails. And what that was it was a whip where the end of the whip was actually flared out into multiple pieces of leather that kind of came out. And in the end of the leather, they were embedded or tied into it, broken pieces of glass and shards of pottery and maybe jagged metal or things like that. And when they would whip someone with it, it would rip out huge chunks of flesh. This is just a horrible, horrible thing to do to someone. I mean, it's going to leave Jesus' back and shoulders and sides just mangled. And if you've seen The Passion of the Christ, I mean, you see just how, I think it's an excellent depiction of what this probably was like. It was just a horrible, heinous thing to do to someone. But then that brings me to a bit of the paradox that I find in this passage is crucifixion may be one of the most heinous means of torture and execution ever devised by man. It exemplifies human depravity. The disregard for human life is so great on display in the act of crucifixion. And God came to earth not 100 years before crucifixion was designed or 100 years after it went out of favor, let's say it that way. But he came right in the midst of when the Romans had perfected crucifixion as a means of torture and execution. The God that came to save us from our sins died the most gruesome, horrible death potentially ever invented by mankind. Pure righteousness bore our sins in the most wicked, grievous way possible on public display on the cross. There may be no greater paradox than that. Pure righteousness, pure goodness was killed by pure evil to take that in is mind blowing. It's beyond comprehension. Once more, Pilate. This is verse 4. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to him, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid and went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend to Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted him, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So, I find this just fascinating. When Pilate heard that Jesus had claimed to be the Son of God, he immediately became afraid of Jesus. Now, John doesn't tell us this, but in other gospel accounts, we know that Pilate's wife had a dream about Jesus the night before. And she had come in the midst of all this and told him, "Don't have anything to do with this man. I suffered in a dream about him last night." Everything that's going on with Jesus seems so supernatural, so out of the ordinary. I mean, Jesus, when questioned, refused to even speak. I mean, Pilate is used to having men beg for their lives, try and bargain, and Jesus doesn't even care. He tells Pilate, "You have no authority over me that wasn't granted to you by my Father." I mean, Pilate hearing that, it must have been so unsettling. And he says from that moment on, the confidence that that Jesus displayed in the midst of certain death, from that moment on, Pilate is trying to set him free. And the Jews see this and they fear this. And so they say the one thing that they know will force Pilate's hands. Pilate is a bureaucrat under the Roman system with his allegiance to Caesar. And as soon as they say he opposes Caesar, he claims to be king when only Caesar is king, they're forcing his hands. They know that if he doesn't do it, they're going to go over his head and they're going to report him. And so this is amazing, though, because they hate the Roman rule. They hate this notion. They reject this notion that Caesar is king over them. They hate it. But when it's convenient for them, they're willing to go ahead and take this upon themselves that Caesar, yes, is our king. When it's convenient for them to have Jesus crucified, yes, Caesar is our king. We have no king but Caesar. This is the most hypocritical thing that these men have said up to now. And they've said a lot of hypocritical things. They've done a lot of hypocritical things. But this is the most hypocritical thing. They hate Caesar. And just like it's told us that they hated Jesus without cause, here they are on display saying that they hate God more than the man and the nation and the oppressors they hated more than anything else. They would rather claim Caesar as their king than have God as their king. That is the depraved heart of man on full display right here. They chose the man that they hated with everything in their being over God. That's how much they detested God's leadership, his rulership in their life. And that's what they chose. Verse 16 again. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Now right here, this is Pilate taking one last shot at these Jews that he hates. He wasn't necessarily taking a shot at Jesus, but mocking the Jews, saying, "This is your king being crucified." And it further offends the Jews. They want to say, "No, don't say he was the king. Say he claimed to be." Pilate basically says, "I don't care. What I've written, I've written." Verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he had loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Now, one thing that strikes me is interesting about this and somewhat funny is I've always wondered, were any women allowed to be named something other than Mary back then? The three people that are standing there are all named Mary. But when you look at this, it's amazing. Jesus is telling John, the only one who's in attendance for this horrible scene of his crucifixion, with these women weeping over Jesus, being tortured and executed in the most heinous fashion. Jesus looks at John and says, "This is your mother from now." And he's giving Mary into John's hands. And we know from church history that Mary did follow John wherever he went from that time on. They ended up in Ephesus together, where we believe Mary died. But it begs the question, what happened to Jesus' brothers? Why did he give Mary to John? I mean, we know that James, who ended up staying in Jerusalem, was actually a blood relative, whether a cousin or actually Mary's son or stepson in some form or fashion. We know that James is actually, you know, in some way the brother of Jesus. Why didn't Mary live with James? Why did she go with John? This is a very interesting thing and a very great privilege. I mean, imagine being given the opportunity, the privilege and the honor and the responsibility to care for Jesus' earthly mother. I find that amazing, an amazing privilege that John was given. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review for me on iTunes. I read them. I love them. I appreciate the feedback. And I'd also love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.